Well, good morning. Man, it's awesome to be back, and thank you for allowing me to be gone and for Dr. Bob Dean to fill in last week. And, he's a good replacement since, he's pastored a lot of churches and he runs the Dallas Baptist Association. So I thought he's a good candidate, to fill in and stuff. So. But I tell you, it's good to be back. Even when we were gone at the apologetics conference and stuff in Lubbock, my heart was to want to be here the whole entire time. I was, when you love a church and you love your members, and you've been here since 1998, this is where I want to be. And although we had a great time, my heart was here. One of the things that Bob Dean was talking about leading up to Thanksgiving was to be thankful for one thing. And he mentioned it, I don't know how many times, and if you didn't get a chance to listen to the message, he said to be thankful for the cross. One of the things that we talked about, the wondrous cross that we should be constantly be reminded of. To be thankful for the cross and the debt that Jesus Christ paid for each and every single one of us is something that we should every single day be grateful and thank Him for. Because without the cross, there's nothing else. The cross was everything. It was what has given us hope. It's what gives us life. It's what gives us this missing void that so often we get in our everyday life. And it's that cross that fills everything because of what He did and the price that He paid. So if you missed that message, please go back online and listen to it. But this morning, I want to do something. I want to not only acknowledge the cross, because as I said, it's everything. But I want to ask a question. Knowing that, what now? Knowing that, What do we do with that? What now that we acknowledge that, okay, I accept that the cross is everything. He paid for it. It was 2,000 years ago. It's on my heart. It's why I gave my life to Him. But now I'm living my life. I'm going to work. I'm raising a family. I'm doing all the things I need to do in my life. And all this stuff is coming up. And oftentimes I forget about this cross in my day. And this is everything. But I oftentimes forget it because of all the other things that come up in my life. And so my question is what now? As believers in Christ, we should be eternally grateful for that. To be able to, if we trusted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we're going to spend eternity with Him. And knowing that, do you know that already? Knowing that, we still have to still run this race. We still have to live our life daily. We have to deny ourselves and pick up our own cross and follow Him each and every day. And that's not that easy. It wasn't that easy for Jesus Christ, and He was the Son of God. It wasn't that easy for the apostles, for the disciples, and for all those that have followed from Acts on, and we are still living out the book of Acts. It's still not that easy. So what happens after Thanksgiving? What happens after Thanksgiving? What happens after Christmas? What happens after your birthday? What happens after your anniversary? What happens after Easter? There's five things right there. We still got 360 days of living life, and that is if those 5 days that I just mentioned are pretty ideal and great for you. That means if you're not dealing with any pain or any hurt, nothing's ever happened on those events and those particular days of loved ones, and you're missing loved ones, and maybe people have passed on, or maybe you're looking at your spouse or and things are not going well health-wise, or you're remembering your mom or your dad, or you're remembering different things have gone on, and that's just sometimes we wish, let's just get on with Thanksgiving. Let's get it over with. Let's get over Christmas. Let's get over the anniversary, because I don't want to feel that anymore. And so let's just pretend that those days are perfect, although we know not everybody is smooth sailing for even those 5 days, right? So how do we deal with all the in-between days that we call life? How can there be Thanksgiving every day when life can be very stressful? When life is mundane, you ever have those days where it's kind of just mundane? You wake up, you're like, ugh, got to go to work 8-10 hours today, come home, make dinner. What's on TV? And let's go to bed. Wake up, we got to do that all over again. Wake up, we got to do that all over again. Life can be very mundane, and forget about all the stresses that may come up and the ordinary of just life, and you're just looking, it's like, where is my joy? I need to find some joy in this day, in this moment right now in life, and I just don't want to feel that right now. And I'm reminded of this scripture in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 where it says, be thankful in all circumstances. It didn't say some of your circumstances. It says, what? All circumstances. That's a tough one. Thank you, Paul. For this is God's what? Will. A lot of times we're all wondering, what is God's will for our life? Not so much about what am I supposed to be doing, what am I supposed to be actually, you know, am I supposed to be a doctor, a lawyer, a teacher, a farmer? What am I supposed to be doing? No, this is God's will. To be thankful in all your circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Jesus Christ. So if you belong to Jesus Christ, you invited him in your life, you say, he's the most important thing in my life, I'm surrendering my life to him, so what is God's will for my life is to be thankful in all of my circumstances. Wow, what a task that may be. I don't know if you're like me, but I do not find joy in all of my circumstances. Yesterday, I went to the donut store, and there I turned on my key, and all it did was go click, not click, click. And I just looked at her, and I'm just like, you got to be kidding me. There was no joy in that moment whatsoever. Now, when my mom came and got me and took me to the house to get a different key, and then I was like, please, God, let it turn over. There my joy was. And sometimes in life, we just have the little click. It's because I was using the wrong key. No lie. I was using a key that you're not supposed to use. And you know what? It got me there. You may be asking, well, how did you get there? Well, I got there. But it says no more. The key said no more. You're not going to go anywhere else because I have a safety in place for you and for any other burglars to not allow it to go any further than the donut store. So call your mom and go back and get the right key. And that is what life can be like. Until we are functioning and working with the right key, with God Almighty, things are not going to run the way that we expect things to run. Amen? I don't know if you know this, but we live in a world that's not perfect. This is not a perfect place. There are a lot of things in life that stress us out. And a lot of times we make decisions and we look for answers and they may not be godly places. And when we do that, things just don't go the way that they should be going. You ever, I don't know if you ever were like this, but maybe your kids or maybe you did as a kid. Anybody ever go buy a hamster? No one's bought a hamster? Cute little furry thing? Yeah? Who doesn't love a little hamster? Buying a hamster, it's a great thing. And what's even better is that you say, you know what, hamster, while you're sitting in this cage, I'm going to give you a little bit of water out of this thing that you can suck, and then I'm going to allow you to have a little bit of this food, but you're going to stay in this cage. But I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to entertain you by giving you a spinning wheel. And this is going to be the best thing in your life, Mr. Hello Hamster. So the hamster sees it, acknowledges it, is trying to figure out what it needs to do, and then all of a sudden it gets on for the ride of its life. And there it begins to take off. And it's like, this is kind of fun. And it goes faster, and it goes faster, and it goes faster, and all it does is spin and spin and spin and spin until it basically collapses. And it rests for a while. And then while you're sleeping at night, it decides to get back on at 2 in the morning once it's rested. And there you hear it get on. And it goes faster, 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 faster until it stops. Now to you, you did a great thing by buying it a spinning wheel. And after a while, that hamster realizes that it has not made it out of that cage at all. And after a while, that hamster realizes that this is zero fun. Matter of fact, the hamster is getting very, very smart. And before you know it, it's no longer on the spinning wheel. And life for us can be like that. We get into this cage. We have the necessities of life. We think that life is going to go great because whatever it is that we're doing, we get on it and we realize that all we are doing is staying in place and going nowhere. And that's why life gets to a place where sometimes we call this no fun, mundane, stressful, boring, no joy, ungrateful. And all these things began to come up, and really what it is meant to be is that no hamster is meant to be sitting in a cage, even with the spinning wheel. What the hamster is meant to do is to run free through your house and enjoy all the things that it has to play with and to do and to experience. Yet it can't. I want to ask you a question. What are you grateful for? What are you thanking God for right now? When was the last time you said, thank you? What was it during Thanksgiving that you were saying, thank you, Lord, for? I encourage you every day to make a list, to come up with 10 things you're grateful for. 10 things. The next day, 10 new things. The next day, 10 new things. If we begin to take our eyes off ourselves and begin to look at what all that God has blessed us with and given us, it will change the whole perspective of our life. So let me ask you this question. Is there anything that is really bothering you right now? Is there anything that's stressing you out? Is there anything that's keeping you up right now? Is it health concerns? Is it a job? Is it marriage? Is it your kids? Is it the fact that you're feeling stagnant in this place in your life and you feel like you're just spinning and you're getting back in and you're just spinning and spinning and spinning, but you're getting nowhere with Christ? And then you take the time off and you just lay there and you look at what you got and you realize, is this all there is to life? No reason I'm not feeling thankful. No reason I don't feel grateful for anything. Where are you, God? I feel like I'm in a cage right now. I know you've given me my food. I know you've given me my water. I know you've given me this protection. I know you've given me a spinning wheel. But we feel oftentimes our purpose in life is completely out of focus. So what are three things that's bothering you? What's three things that may be keeping you up? I bet it's the same thing over and over that you keep thinking about, over and over. If you would, let's open up God's word and see what he has to say. Matthew chapter 11, verse 27. I'm going to be reading out of the NLT. You read out of your version. Matthew chapter 11, verse 27. I like how he begins to start off. Just to put things in perspective, just so that we don't forget who Jesus Christ is in our life. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 27, he writes this, "My Father," this is Jesus talking, this is Jesus' prayer of thanksgiving, "My Father has entrusted everything to me." Y'all catch that? His Father has entrusted who? Jesus Christ. "And everything to me. Not one truly knows the Son except the Father. And no one truly knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal himself to." And then comes this part. The part that I want us to hold on to right now as we begin to look at why and how we should be grateful and thankful for what Jesus Christ has done for us on that cross. Watch this. Verse 28 says this, "Then Jesus said, 'Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light.'" A very well popular verse. A lot of times we send to people when they're going through different turmoils and going through different things in life. We want people to be reminded of this, but oftentimes when we're sharing with this, when we're going through these things, we forget to go to God. Remember, we forget to go to the one that Jesus says, "The Father has given all authority to reign in my life, has given me all authority to be here for you." Now let's break this down. "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens." The literal translation, the Greek translation is this: all you who are completely weighed down. To be weighed down, meaning that you can't hold anymore. It happened to me just a few weeks ago. I was driving here. I took the little mini bike that my dad gave to my son and to be able to ride around. And we got it in the back of the truck, and we took it up here. And then as we rode around for a little bit, my son Pierce, he helped me get it in the truck. We tied it all down and made sure it was safe. And then we got to the house, and Pierce just went straight into the house. That was it. He was done. And I was thinking, well, I still got this mini bike in the back of my truck. But being a man, I thought, well, I'll get the mini back out. I mean, it's not that big of a deal. Obviously, he didn't think he needed to help me. He just forgot. And so I unstrapped everything. I take down the tailgate, and I start to pull it out. And the thing, probably, I don't know how much it weighs, but it weighs probably at least 50, 60 pounds. So I start to back it up, and then I start to get it, and I hold it, and then I start to take it down. The only problem is it was stuck. The pedal thing on the side, the little pegs you put your feet on, it was stuck in my left pocket right here. And I was wearing my sweats. And I was thinking, I've already moved it this much further, and I really can't move it any further besides one direction, and that is down. Mind you, my garage is open, as well as all my neighbors. So I have it, and my truck is back there. I cannot, because I just wanted to pick it up and throw it down. But I can't move it. I started to move it, and I couldn't move it. I started to move it up. I couldn't do anything. And I'm getting tired. I'm out there for 10 minutes by myself holding this thing, wondering, what am I going to do? I can't call for help. I can't yell for help. He's probably no telling what he's doing. So I'm stuck. So I was like, Lord, you're going to have to give me the strength. And he said, Troy, good luck. So I began to lower it. The only thing I knew what to do. And as I began to lower it and lower it and lower it, my pants, my underwear, my neighbors, there was nothing I could do. By the time I have it on the ground, my pants are on the ground. Everything is on the ground. You ever been weighed down so bad that the only thing you could do was just say, that's all I have. You're going to have to go from here, Lord. So I had it on the ground. I put the thing on. I looked around. Thankfully, nobody was watching. As far as I know, they probably went into the house saying, oh my God, that was the scariest sight I've ever seen in my life. And I went in and yelled at my son. Nah. Sometimes we get weighed down and oftentimes we don't know where to go. You know, no one's ever come to me and said, Pastor Troy, I'm feeling so weary and burdened and heavy laden. No one's ever come to me and said that. The many times I can see it in their faces, just like you can see it in people's faces, right? And a lot of times we can hear it in their voices. A lot of times we can feel it in their handshake or their hugs, and we can just see it. And then sometimes we don't see anything because when people are going through what they're going through, they just disappear. Now, granted, I wish I was disappeared at that point. But what happens, even with believers in Christ, even with our fellow friends here, even with people that we haven't invited yet to our church, we're missing, you know, half the church right now for different reasons and sickness and things going on with people right now. And here's the deal. Sometimes we just vanish because it's easier to just say, I don't want to deal with life. I don't want to deal with the burdens. I don't want to deal with things. So it's easier for me just to disappear. And we become distant. We become standoffish. And we go to this place. It's called the safe place. And we all have it. And you could be with people. I mean, I could be right here with her. And I could still be in my safe place because I just tune everything out. Or I can stay at home. Or I can go to work and just do my job and not be a minister there and not be a minister at my home and not be a minister with my kids and with my spouse and with all the things. And even the holiday, I just go to my safe place. And even though it's Thanksgiving and everybody's supposed to enjoy the turkey and the cowboy game and all the things, but I'm just not feeling it. So I go to my safe place and I just shut down because I don't want to go there. But Jesus here offers, you come to me. I am there. I'm up. I'm here for the long run. I'm free of charge. You don't have to go to a counselor. I am the counselor. I have all-knowing wisdom. I'm loving. I have grace. I have this joy that I want to give you. And we forget the reminders of who Jesus is when he says, to come to me, all you who are weary and carry this heavy burden. We forget, number one, that it's an invitation that this is to a true person. Do we forget that Jesus Christ, just because he's up at the throne of grace, that we realize that he's not there watching us, that he's not there with us? that he's too distant from us. It's the only God in the world. It's the only anything in the world that offers this personal relationship. Christianity is the only one. Everything else, you got to go through another human being, or you got to go through a statue or some theories or some ism or asm out there. Jesus Christ offers himself as a person, a true person. He's not a recording. He's no robocall. He's no false god. He's no statue. He's not an institution. He's not a building. He's a personal person of Jesus Christ. He's the God in the flesh that says, my Father has entrusted everything to me. The second thing about this invitation to all of us is to all of us. Don't you love that? Not you that are doing good. Oh, not you that are that look like me, talk like me, smell like me, feel like me, all those type of things. You people, us people, no. I exclude you. I only want the rich. I only want the poor. I only want the black. I only want the white. I only want these people. I only want this people. I only want this ethnicity. I only want this race. Jesus says, everybody. He came to everybody. Everybody was invited, Greek and Gentiles alone. Just like this church, we welcome every single person. Every person, just like Jesus offers himself to everybody. Everybody's included. Everybody. Have you ever not ever been included in something? There's times in the past that Jamie and I did not get invited to certain parties or certain things at her school or my events and different things because they know that I'm a pastor. And maybe I wouldn't go, but it's nice to be invited. But there are times when people will not invite us just because they don't want us to ruin their party. Like we'd be going with my Bible and I know it's your birthday and all, but let me tell you what God's word says. I mean, come on. We're human beings. We're just real people, just trying to make it also. But everybody needs to be included, and Jesus Christ offers himself to every single person. You always have a place to go with Jesus. You're always invited with Jesus. Luke 5:31 says this, Jesus answered them and said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. You know how insane it is to be sick and never go to the doctor? That's insane. If you're sick over and over and over and over, go to the doctor. And if you're spiritually sick over and over and over and you feel yourself distant and heavy, laden and burdened, and you're not walking and you feel stagnant like a pond that's not moving at all, and you see the seaweed around your life and you're wondering, why is your life different and my life looks like this? I'm not saying just because you're a Christian, everything's going to go great and you're going to look like this fresh waterfall. But I am going to say that he'll stir up the water. He'll take out the mire and the clay and the muck and the stuff that doesn't belong there and begin to help you spiritually get well. But you cannot do that if you're distanced from him. That's why he said, come to me. Come to me. Because the invitation also, number three, is this. I will give you what? Rest. One thing that we all need is rest every single day in our life. And I'll tell you, over the past year, one of the greatest things that's happened to me is then this one beautiful machine that helped me. Now, I don't look great in this at any stretch of the imagination. There'll be a picture, I think, coming up. That's me getting my CPAP machine test, okay? But that machine is changing my life. It's allowing me to get rest every day. My wife would probably tell you, maybe too much rest. You ever take two naps in a day? I do. And then I go to bed. So sometimes I get too much rest because I'm feeling better. I'm feeling better. I feel like I have more energy. It's because it's doing what it's supposed to. It's blowing. Instead of dying 9 times a day, I mean every hour at night with these apneas, I'm not. I'm only dying once. I stop breathing only one time per hour. That's not too bad because I'm no longer going like this in my wheel. all night long, tiring myself out, and then going to the next day and then trying to reestablish myself in my heart. No, I'm off the spinning wheel and I'm getting rest so I can go somewhere during my daytime. I can live and rest. And so often in life, that's what we're like. But you know what? That machine that I'm on is not going to fix the stress and the mundane and the spiritual life and all those things in my life. All it's going to do is blow air up my nose at a high rate of speed to help me sleep. But what happens psychologically? What happens spiritually? What happens when I'm dealing with people that are hurting right now? As I mentioned, we got people with cancer. We got people that are going through marriage problems. We got people that are dealing with stuff. And I still have my own life that I'm dealing with my own wife and with my own kids and with my own work and my own pastorship and my own all these things and all the stuff that's coming up each and every day. That machine's not going to do it. The only thing that's going to do it for me is God Almighty, who says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened and weighed down. You got to come to me, because that machine's not going to work, and that alcohol's not going to work, and that drug over here is not going to work, and overeating is not going to work, and that TV and that escape over here, and you work in another 50 hours, none of that's going to work. If you want to rest in me, you got to come to me. We have an obligation to come to Christ because he's there. Listen to David's words in Psalms 55, 4 through 6 is this. My heart pounds in my chest. What a great descriptive right off the bat. The terror of death assaults me. It's assaulting me. It's coming after me. I can't sleep. It's pounding me. Fear and trembling is overwhelming me, and I can't stop shaking. Ever been there before? That's David's words. Oh, that I wish I had wings like a dove. Then I would fly away and I would find what? David was running for his life from Saul. And David's like, what did I do wrong? Job was running for his life from Satan. And he's saying, what did I do wrong? You and me. Sometimes we feel like we're just running from everything and we're like, what did I do wrong? And it's not about what you did wrong. Sometimes it's about what you're doing right. In this world, you're going to have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Cast all your anxiety on me because I care for you. David wrote 73-ish out of 78 Psalms. Of realness. I like that. Of realness. If you want to get real with your spiritual life, read Psalms. Read the heart of David. 73 out of 78, I believe. Psalms. Here's realness. I was trying to make this work last night. That's exactly what we did. I said, no, take that out of the trash. Not that we're going to be able to fix that. We may be able to fix that, but I doubt it. But that's our everyday life. We're like, seriously? Who put it back in like this? And my daughter was the only one that wasn't around, so it was my daughter. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16 says, and Jamie read it, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, and Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest, thank God that we do not have a high priest that doesn't understand what we are going through, who's unable to sympathize with our weakness, but in every respect, how many? Every one of them. He has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. That's very important that you understand that. Verse 16 says, then let us come with what? Let us come with what? We got to come with confidence in our life. We got to come with the boldness that we know Jesus Christ, that He died on the cross for us. We're going to come with boldness and confidence because we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. Amen. We have the same Holy Spirit, the same God that was working in their life is the same Holy Spirit working in our life. And we can come with confidence that He's right there with us. And He said, you come with me. You come with confidence and you draw near me to the throne of grace that you may receive mercy and grace to help you in your time of need. Isn't that a great promise? He cannot lie. Why? Because we just read it. He doesn't sin. Right? If he sinned, if we can't hold on to that promise, then guess what? We should not follow him. He will be like every other person, every other false god that's promised. But we can go with confidence and say, I trust you, Lord Jesus Christ. And I will go to the throne of grace with my prayers with boldness and confidence. If we're not going to him, then where are we going? Where are we going if we're not going to him? And why? What can any one thing or any person do better than God alone? If you can answer that, I'd like to find it. This is a popular phrase used in the Bible over and over, and I'll share more about next week. Lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes, look to God for your answers. Over and over, he said, lift up your eyes to Abraham, to Jacob, to Moses, to Isaiah. Jesus said it to all of his fathers, followers. We got to lift up our eyes to Jesus. Look to him. Look to the throne of grace on everything that you do. Where is your eyes right now? Is your eyes on yourself, on your circumstances, on your problems, on other people, on other things? Or are they on Jesus Christ and giving it over to him and say, you take care of this because all I am is naked before you in front of others and I cannot hold this thing up anymore. And take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you because I am lowly and humble and gentle at heart. I'll be honest with you. Oftentimes, we're not very teachable. We want to go our own way. He says, let me teach you. So how teachable are we? Will we actually sit? Will we actually listen? Will we actually trust him? Will we actually obey the things that he has in his scriptures and what he tells us to do? Are we going to go and do everything our own way? Where are we going to turn? Satan, he wants you to turn in all the other directions. Turn to yourself. He says, go ahead, do that. Turn to yourself. That's what Satan wants you to do. Go ahead. Turn to yourself. See how well that works out for you. Turn to these drugs. You'll have the best 3 hours of your life. Go ahead, turn to TV. Go ahead and turn to your little safe place. I would love for you to be in your safe place for as long as you will stay there because I'm going to self-destruct yourself. I'm going to allow you to have everything that you need of yourself. Do not go to God, whatever you do, Satan says. When Jesus was tempted, before he even began his ministry, who came after him? Satan. And he combated it with prayer and with God's word. We got to do the same thing. We got to face it. Psalms 107:1 says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. We must trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy, to be thankful in Jesus, is to what? Trust and obey, the great hymn tells us. And if you're a believer, we must trust and obey. And if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ and you're searching out for this answer, you got to trust him and you got to be willing to obey him if you want your life to be different. As I close today, I don't know if any of you guys are football fans. Do we have any football fans here? Some? Yeah. I didn't say Cowboy fan. I just said football fans. The New York Giants, as I was beginning working on this sermon, had a 3-7 record. They have a 3-7 record right now. It's the worst record in the NFC East, okay? But 2 weeks ago, they were what? 1-7. Literally the worst record in the league. Basically, the whole entire season was over. They literally need to win every single game for them to have a chance for the playoffs. And guess what? They won the next two games. But before those two games, a lot of things was going on. There was a lot of attention that was going on in the locker room. There was a lot of tension going on in the media. There was already a lot of self-doubt. There was a lot of people already frustrated on the football field. You could see it in the eyes of the coaches. You could see it in the eyes of the players. You could see it in the eyes of even some of the star players. And some of even the star players, like Odell Beckham, he just couldn't deal with it. He was having the toughest time. There was even a time that he walked out while the offense was still playing. It had a couple minutes left still before halftime, and he just left. He just walked out and went back to the locker room. And, of course, they said, you know, he was blah, 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 blah. But he was frustrated. He could have waited two more minutes, but he didn't because he needed to get some other things ready, get some oxygen, do whatever he needed to do. But then there was this other key player. Not Eli Manning, not the quarterback, not the running back. Instead, there was this other key player. And his name is Pat Shurmur. He's the head coach. And after winning the last two games and not quitting, staying hopeful, this is what Pat Shurmur said when I was reading through his little quote. Crazy, isn't it? That's why I said through the first 8 weeks, you just have to keep what? Playing. You just never know. You just got to keep playing. And even though our life is not a football game, and I get that, look at the embrace on the field to Odell Beckham, who was mad, who was frustrated, who was scared, and I would even say who was even a little bit ungrateful that he was even out there playing in the first place. This guy, he really wanted to win, though. He wanted to win for himself. He wanted to win for his family, for his team, for his fans, and for his coach. I'm Odell Beckham. I'm Odell Beckham. In many days of my life, I'm not Pat Shurmur. Many days of my life, because frustrated and mad and discouraged and want to win and for all the different reasons, I'm Odell Beckham. When I'm not winning, I'm like David. King David was not winning all the time. He made mistakes. Like Moses, like Peter, like doubting Thomas. Maybe like you, too, if we're honest. And there's times I want to leave early. I want to give up too quick. Even when I'm playing offense, I want to leave 2 minutes early and just get out of the situation and not deal with what I got to deal with, instead of be out there and trusting everything that I've been practicing. Today at 12 o'clock, the Giants are going to play the Eagles. I have no idea how it's going to turn out. Trust and obey. There is no other way to be happy, to be thankful, to be grateful in Jesus is to what? Trust and obey. Let's let Jesus carry what we cannot hold. Let's give Jesus what we cannot stand. Let's find thanksgiving in 365 days of the year, because we have a coach, the coach, that embraces us and then tells us, you just keep playing. The cross. It's everything. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this promise that you give us through the scripture in Matthew 11. I thank you for the invitation that we get to have, that it's all inclusive. I thank you for the fact that you already understand that you're a high priest, that you are God in the flesh that understands, that you know what it's like to be down and low and to want at times to ask for this cup to pass by. But you say, I got to keep playing. I'm going to take it all the way to the finish line. I'm going to take it all the way to the cross. Because if I don't, then these people that are putting their trust into me, I will become just like every other God. And so, Father God, we thank you, Jesus, that you are the author and the perfecter of our faith, that you alone are the one that wants us to place our faith and our trust and our obedience to you. Because you said that there is absolutely no other way. So we ask that, God, during this time, another invitation. Lord, there may be everyone in this seat may be feeling already saved and understand that you died on the cross. But what now? What now are we supposed to do when we don't feel thankful, when we're not feeling grateful in our moments right now, when we have these insecurities, when we have these pains, when we have these worries, when we're not trusting you, what now do we do? I pray right now, I pray that we can just come to the altar and we just give you the things that you're asking for. The invitation is open. And so I pray that, God, if there's anyone here that does not know you, I pray that they will find you today and to place their trust in you. And for those that do know you, I pray that they will give thanks for everything that you have blessed them with and us with. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.